So three different scriptures, three different kinds of things going on. The first one is from Genesis, and we have a serpent who's very crafty. The serpent finds a way to entice the woman into conversation, and he starts talking, you know, kind of very gently, like, you know, did God say anything about these trees? You know, is there anything that you have to worry about, or, you know, have you ever tried this? And Eve's like, you know, God gave us instructions, you know, this is what we're supposed to do. And, you know, we were told that if we ate of this one tree, we would, you know, we would surely die. And the serpent goes, oh, no, you won't die. So the serpent very convincingly sways Eve to go ahead and try that fruit. So I'm just wondering if anybody has ever enticed you into trying anything in the past. I have a couple things here. We're getting close to Halloween, right? Candy, right? Sweet chocolate, yes. Okay, your fifth wedding anniversary, that's great. Congratulations. Okay, and cookies. Yeah, that's another one of my weaknesses. I do like chocolate chips. If somebody has some homemade molasses cookies, I'm a real go-getter for those. Or somebody had some ginger snaps at a meeting the other day, and I just went straight for them. I didn't even, you know, stop to think like I shouldn't be eating all these cookies. They were just there, and they were calling me, you know, Carolyn, here you are. Here's these cookies. Now, for somebody who's not into sweets, I understand that some people are into ribs, okay? And if they see a platter of ribs, you know, they're just going to go for it. So we do have different ways of being enticed to doing things. These are simple things of trying. I'll get to that picture in a minute. But when I was younger, my sister teased me. She's going to get on my case for this. Somebody had given us some bear meat, and it was in the refrigerator, and she was going, oh, we have some steak here. Why don't you eat some steak? I said, no, I don't think that's steak. It doesn't look quite right. And she goes, no, no, it really is. It really is. Let's have some of that. And so, of course, me being the younger sister, you know, she enticed me, so I tried it. It didn't taste all that great to me. And she goes, yeah, it's bear meat. And I was, ugh. So it's easy for us to be, you know, enticed into something. We also, in all the children in school, we have things that are a little bit of peer pressure now. We have people who are trying to get you to do things that you know probably shouldn't do, but everybody else is doing it, so you just go ahead and do that. So there's things like that that happen. Now the next picture, this is a beautiful place. That would be great to have a place like that. Do you think somebody like, for me and my dog, would need a place that big? What would I do with all that space, right? It's wonderful you worked hard for it, and that, you know, you may be using it for beneficial purposes, but just to lust after something like that is not necessarily the best way of living your life. And that's where we start getting to Paul, who is trying to teach them to live the way Christ lived, to be humble and to be of the same mind. And there's some things I want to share about that. I had some notes that I brought with me. Paul, in the beginning of that chapter, actually says, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any fellowship in the Spirit, compassion, sympathy, all for the glory of the living, that is Christ, he says, do nothing from selfish ambition, but look to the interest of others. So in other words, we need to be selfless. We need to reach out to others and put their needs first sometimes before our own. And there's different ways that we can do that. And we see that here. I'm going to have, we have a few pictures here. Some of these you may recognize because I asked Ted to give some pictures here from university. We have the Neighbors Welcome Picnic, okay? face painting. What's another one? We have the community garden. And we have the Friday morning community and food pantry here, right? And we have the Sunday morning breakfast, which some of you may have partaken in this morning. Is that the last one? So these are just some things that you do right here at university. And these are ways of living out God's word, but not going for like, ha, ha, look what I did today. I did this, and I did that, and I did this to help all the people. That's not what we're doing, right? We are reaching out with love and compassion and grace to others, and we don't need to seek a reward for that because our reward is already there from God. God knows what we're doing all the time. And so we are trying to be and emulate the way Christ lived his life. And if you were to look in a mirror, how would that reflection come back to you? Would it show somebody who loves God, who keeps Jesus at the center of their life, who tries to live the way Christ lived by reaching out with love and compassion to others? Or would it show you like, yeah, I can't wait to get all this money, earn all this money, and just spend it all on me? So I can do things just for me. We all have good little gadgets like cell phones, right? Technology. We're great at advertising here in the United States. These things now become a tool for us. And pastors will tell you when we don't have our cell phone, then we really struggle because it makes us very mobile, just like a mobile phone, because we can check email, we can text. If all of a sudden we find out somebody's in the hospital, wherever we are, we can then go ahead and check on that person. And I can tell you with a few meetings that I've been attending on behalf of the city of Syracuse, right in the middle of the meeting, I get a text that somebody's in the emergency room. So as soon as I can, no matter what time of night it is, then I can go down to the hospital and check on that family. So they can be a wonderful tool. But do we put God first and do what God asks us, or do we go ahead and take the time and play video games and then maybe put everything else off, you know? Are we procrastinators? Are we innovators? Are we people who reach out to bless people, or are we ones that have rivalries and compete against one another? There is a wonderful way of it being said here, and I want to share if comparing the passage from Genesis, in a sense, where we become selfish or we start having our own desires first before God. God's generous desires are to bless, to help, serve, and create, to care for, to save, and enjoy. But some of us would rather compete rather than create. Some of us would rather impress rather than to bless. Some of us would rather defeat rather than protect. Some of us would rather dominate rather than to serve, and some of us would rather exploit rather than respect. And when we create a lot of rivalry, we also then sometimes create enemies, and then we have victims. And so there was something that I wanted to share with you. There was a movie a long time ago, it came out called Pay It Forward. I don't know who of you saw it and who didn't. It was a great concept. It was a teacher, junior high teacher, these kids are 11 years old, and this teacher who has scars on his face, the first day of his class, he gives them an assignment, and he tells them, what can you do to change the world? And of course, these kids are like, well, we can't do anything, we're 11, what can we do? And so, here is the example here. You'll see there's a me, and then there's three, and etc. What this one boy proposed was like if he did a kindness to three people and then asked them to do a kindness to three people themselves, it would keep multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. So there's a woman, there's a lot of them in Collamer that are really good. I don't do this, I'm challenged in many ways, but they made this beautiful prayer shawl. And they make a lot of these. And they bless them, we bless them, and then we give them away to people who might need them. And there's one woman who's already made 75 prayer shawls. So if you can imagine 75 people that we've given these to, if they went ahead and just did something nice, it doesn't have to be a prayer shawl, but just did something nice to three others, that's already 225 people right there, just from these prayer shawls. And we have a very special story I want to share with you quickly, was when I was in out west, I used to serve in Lockport, there was a minister who was serving the Clarence Center Church out towards Buffalo, and there was a terrible airplane crash, one of those local commuter planes that crashed. And so his church became a place for people dropping things off for all the families. And the Red Cross came one day to get some food and water and some things to take to the hotel where these people were staying. And this pastor said, well, I have a few of these prayer shawls. Would you like them? He actually had tons of prayer shawls because the people were very prolific there. And so the Red Cross said, okay, we'll take some of them. He brought them to the hotel. The Red Cross came back an hour later and says, can we have the rest of all your prayer shawls? And he had tons of them. And he said, by all means. And what happened was all these family members who had lost loved ones in that airplane crash were now walking around in the lobby of the hotel, and each one of them was wearing a prayer shawl because it gave them comfort. It helped them know that somebody else was lifting them up in prayer. A simple gesture like this, or a set of prayer beads, or something else, a kind word, or even just a note for somebody, can make all the difference in the world. And so Paul is telling us to not only be of one mind and one body, but he's telling us to try and be Christ-like in what we do. And all that good work that we do, when we feel pulled to talk to somebody or go visit somebody in the hospital or send a card or call somebody on the phone or maybe make some awesome cookies for your pastor. Sorry, had to get that in. Any of those really kind gestures, okay, can mean the world for somebody, and they don't soon forget. And then it's a way for you to pay it forward. They can then pay it forward to somebody else. Even before I went to seminary, I used to have a really old car, my first car, and it used to, the alternator was always going on it, so the battery would die. So I carried jumper cables wherever I went, and so I was always having people jump my car, you know, to get the car started. And I was going into a Verizon store, and there was a woman sitting there in her car, and she was struggling. And I thought, I'm sensing God pulling me away here for a minute. But I said, well, she's still there when I come out of the Verizon, then I know she really can't get her car started. So I went into Verizon, took care of whatever was wrong with my cell phone. I come back out, and I kindly talked to her, and said, can you put down your window, or can you start your car? You know, because I'm a stranger. And she says, yeah, I can't start it. I said, I have jumper cables. And this is when the batteries were the old-fashioned terminals that you could actually hook the jumper cables on. And so I explained what I was going to do. She says, have you done this before? I said, many times. And so then I brought my car around. We jumped her car. I explained to her, I said, drive around for a while before you stop to get your battery charged back up. And then she tried to offer me some money. And I said, no. I said, I don't, you know, keep your money. I didn't do that for the money. I just wanted to help you do this. She goes, well, what can I do? I said, when somebody else needs some help, go ahead and pay it forward and help them. And she says, okay. So that's what God is asking us to do. God is asking us to mirror the way Christ reached out with love and compassion to others. God is asking us to study the teachings of Jesus so that we know how to live our lives. And all this wonderful work that we're doing, all the work that we've done here at university, whether these prayer shawls that get made, and Colomers also has other churches coming every third Saturday in the month making sleeping bags for the homeless, all these kinds of things that we're doing, it's not just us doing it, it's God working in us and through us, so that we can mirror Christ to others. So embrace the gifts that God has given you. Embrace all the blessings, and don't keep them to yourself. Share those with others and serve humbly with the love of God in your hearts in Christ Jesus. Amen.